check the board
okay.
first and
Committee on Transportation will come to order. Members, we're Senator Scheid has the first bill, and she just came in the door, and that's Senate File 2204. And Senator Scheid, that was pretty good timing because I was just going to move to Senator Michelle, but
believe me, Mr. Chairman, if I said I skipped a few steps coming down, right? if I did, it wouldn't have been on purpose.
Senator Scheid, Senate File 2204.
Thank you, and I appreciate the notice that I was chairing Commerce Committee up on in 112. This is a bill that was brought to my attention. Well, the bill wasn't. I had the bill drafted in response to a constituent who has drives a couple of cars, and frankly, I now... When I got this information, I didn't have my own permit, disability permit card, but now I understand his concern much better. And this bill would allow an individual to receive up to two sets of the disability license plates for their motor vehicles. What he has is one set of plates and then that plastic blue and white card that you hang over the mirror. And if you forget to put that on, and I confess I have a couple of times. I haven't had any bad thing happen to me, but I've had to ask somebody to run out and put that on if I remembered it. So it puts an individual in a if you're used to driving one car and it has the plates, that's fine. But and then you drive the other family car and you don't have the plates, this would allow, obviously, them to have both. Now, I think you should have an amendment.
Yes, and Senator Gimsey moves the A1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Scheid?
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, I think that this might, well, I guess you might want to have other people testify, and I think Ms. Imdig is here.
Yeah, Mrs. Imdig, would you join us at the table? Thank you.
Hello, hello. I'm good. How are you? Good. Should I go ahead?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chair, members of the Transportation Committee, I'm Margo Imdig Cross, and I'm an accessibility specialist with the Minnesota State Council on Disability. The Minnesota State Council on Disability is a small state agency that exists to advise the governor, state legislature, state agencies, and the public regarding disability issues. One of my job responsibilities is to work closely with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety to ensure that disability parking program meets the needs of eligible Minnesotans with disabilities. Ms. Codd is in support of Senate File 2204 as amended. DPS currently follows the National Disability Parking Guidelines and provides to eligible individuals with disabilities either two disability parking certificates or one disability parking certificate and one set of disability license plates. Senate File 2204 would increase the number of disability license plates to a maximum of two sets for an individual with a disability. This change would meet the needs of individuals who have two primary vehicles that they operate and want to identify both of those vehicles with disability license plates. It will also meet the needs of eligible individuals with disabilities who own and operate a motorcycle and want a disability license plate for that vehicle. Thank you for your consideration of this bill.
Thank you very much. Senator Scheid, is there anyone else that would like to testify? I understand that the Department of Vehicle Services is here.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think they may.
Is it just the one amendment?
I think so. Do we need to do it the other? By having this.
Your name for the record, please.
My name's David Davies. I'm with Driver and Vehicle Services Public Safety.
with the accommodations made with this bill, there'd be no adverse impact or fiscal impact on the Department of Public Safety.
And Mr. Davies, this meets, yes, it does. I see it on the back page. Great. So, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe a question for Ms. Imdick Cross. Welcome. Great to see you. I just had a practical question. Maybe I don't know enough about the State Council on Disability, but what is the administrative capacity for the council to receive these requests and approve them on a case-by-case basis? I just don't know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, the administrative capacity is stretched pretty much to capacity. Mm-hmm. But we have worked with the Department of Public Safety for over two decades, and we have an understanding that there are relatively few requests every year for the second set of plates. And what we would do is just work in a partnership with DPS to authorize plates on a case-by-case basis.
Great.
So basically, we're more than willing to do that. If it turns out that it's more than we can adequately handle, mm-hmm. then we'll work out some other system. But right now, we're fairly confident and comfortable with the fact that we feel that there's going to be relatively few requests, and the authorization piece process shouldn't take long at all.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Senator Dibble moves that Senate File 2204 as amended be recommended and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, if I might. There was another amendment, but I don't know how it plays with this, and I think the council might have drawn it up. It was an A1 amendment. It was from yesterday, and it had to do with saying that the commissioner shall not issue more than two sets of plates. But I think that this deals with it. I don't know how it would fit with this amendment. Is that familiar? And I, of course, left my bill up in room 112, so I'm dealing without the actual bill, so I should probably get.
Do you want a copy?
Comment on it, I guess.
I can comment on
okay.
that.
Ms. Brzozowski.
Mr. Chair and members, I think the intent was to make sure that not more than two sets would be issued to a registered owner. And I think that with the A1, I think that you've achieved that because if you have the bill in front of you, we've reinstated line 15, which says the commissioner shall not issue more than one set of plates to any owner. And then unless the State Council on Disability approves the issuance of a second set of plates. So I think between those two, there isn't any room for going beyond two sets.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make sure that we just needed this one. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Scheid. Thanks, Ms. Brzozowski. On the Dibble motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you.
And bless you, wherever that came from. Next up, Senator Michelle. And Senator Michelle, which bill did you want to be heard first? Senate File 1329.
Yeah.
Members, Senators Ingebrigtsen and Sinjum have temporarily pulled their Gold Star family plates. Both those bills are very close to being the same. They're going to marry them together, and we'll hear it maybe next week. So they're going to work out some of the differences. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 1329 would establish some special plates. Mr. Chairman. And what we want to do is two things that this committee has often done, that this legislature has often done, but we want to raise awareness about the impact and consequences of impaired driving, and we want to honor the families. We want to honor the victims of impaired driving. And what you have before you today is really an idea and a passion from the folks sitting to my right. I'd like to have you hear from the Degnans from Edina, and they will share with you a little bit about their son, Dan. And, Mr. Chair, if I could, I'd like to ask Barb to try to kick things off, and we'll do this together.
Thank you. I'm Barb Degnan. I'd like to thank Senators Murphy and Michelle for their support of this bill and for continuing efforts to keep the roads of Minnesota safe. My 20-year-old son was killed on Christmas Eve of 1992 by an impaired driver. Why today? Usually I do pretty well. I don't know why today I'm not. He had come home from the University of Arizona on December 23rd of 1992, all excited about being home to see his friends, and I picked him up at the airport, and he had asked, you know, maybe I should stay home tonight, Mom. You know, it's my first night home. And I said, no, Dan, I think, you know, your friends are here, and go on out. They'll be fine. So he got ready to go, and last thing he says, he went out the door, was, I love you, and off he went. That night later, he called around 10 o'clock to say that he would be home instead of at 10, probably closer to midnight. So I went to bed hoping that it would be a quiet night and things would go well. Unfortunately, the phone rang at midnight, and it was Hennepin County Medical Center calling to tell me that indeed Dan was at the hospital and that we should come as soon as possible. They don't tell you very much more than that, thankfully, because I don't think you would make it to the hospital, but we did get there to find out that he actually had been involved in a motor vehicle crash in which involved an impaired driver. There was no brain activity at that time, so we spent the night there and decided on the morning of Christmas Eve.
Thank you.
To take life support off. The circumstances of the crash are why I'm here. No one in the car was drinking. Alcohol was not involved. And often when you hear so much about drunk driving, which is so important, but within impaired driving, it encompasses drunk driving, but it also encompasses many other things. The night they were coming home, they were at the University of Minnesota, and they were coming off the Huron exit ramp, which exits going west on 94. And I don't know if you know that ramp very well, but it's a very treacherous ramp. And even now, they've made improvements to it. Even now, I think it's still dangerous. And that night, a truck driver was coming down 94, traveling west. It was a very cold night. He had diesel fuel in his truck, and unfortunately, because of the cold weather, it gels. And so the truck was sputtering and sputting, and he had been on the road longer than he should have been. His logbook was not up to date, but as we found out, he had been on the road too long. So he was impaired. He chose to try to make it over the bridge, and he didn't make it over the bridge. He stalled right as the ramp enters 94. So the truck had stalled, you know, right where the kid's car was coming off the ramp. And if you're familiar with that, it's kind of a loop. And so whatever car would have come off that ramp would have been a disaster because there is no place to go. The car proceeded, couldn't stop, and the car went beneath the truck. There were four young people in the car, all very, very good friends. The driver was my son's best friend. He did survive, but he lives forever, knowing that he was the driver of a car that killed his best friend. He has gone on with his life. He's married. He has a son now that has been named after Daniel, so that's kind of the gift that I have. Another one of the young men in the car were also killed. There was a female in the back seat that did survive, and then again the driver was survived but had massive injuries, although he is doing well now. So, you know, who was the aunt? I mean, who was this person that we're talking about? And I would hope that people would remember this, and that's why I think this is so important, that when you see this license plate, remembering victims of impaired driving, you think of the families and, more importantly, the others out there that we don't want this ever to happen to. No mother or father should be awakened at midnight to be told that their son or daughter is at the hospital. So we've got a picture. Is it? He's going around. That's Dan's graduation picture. That was taken in June of 91. This accident occurred in December of 92. So that was about a year and a half after his graduation. Dan was just the kind of the kid that, you know, everyone really loved. I don't think I ever met anyone that didn't really care about him. His college advisor once asked me if I had ever met anyone that didn't enjoy his presence, and I had to say no. I mean, everybody just really loved him. He was captain of his football team, track team, homecoming king. And that's who he was. And I'm going to let John tell you a little bit more about why we want this bill.
I'm John Degnan. Thank you very much for your time and your support. We hope that some personal story like this will highlight the need for educating the public about impaired driving. Drunk drivers have long been identified as being impaired, but thankfully, mainly through the efforts of Sharon Gurman Driscoll and Minnesotans for Safe Driving, they've made a great effort at trying to educate the public about what and how much broader the term impaired driving is. You've heard the story about what happened with Dan. It was a fellow that chose to actually disobey state and federal regulations, driving too long, and his judgment was very, very impaired. Others, examples, people taking illegal drugs or even sometimes prescription drugs when they shouldn't and drive. Fatigue is the cause of many tragic accidents as well. Sleep-deprived people. You've seen, I'm sure, some of the articles in the paper over the last year or two of some tragic accidents. These are but a few of the examples of what impaired driving is and how important it is to educate the public about how important it is to be conscious of what impaired driving is and to avoid it. This is one of the few, if not the only, license plate that really promotes public safety and safer roads. There are many nice plates, and frankly, I'm partial to the ones involving veterans, and I think they're fine. But this one actually promotes safer roads. We had proposed with Senator Michelle the wording on this particular license plate saying, remembering victims of impaired drivers, with a symbol in the middle of a broken heart. We think this license plate will attract a fair amount of attention and hopefully help to educate the public on what the impact of impaired driving is. But even if it only causes one person to reflect and not drive in an impaired state, consequently, then one family will be spared the agony that you've heard that our family's gone through for the last 15 years. If that's accomplished, I know that that's something that Dan would have wanted, and frankly, we all would have wanted, promoting safer roads in Minnesota. Thank you for your attention, and most of all, for your support.
thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Degnan. It's I appreciate the conversations that we've had in the past, and on behalf of the committee, you know, we extend our condolences to your family and recognize the amount of courage that it takes to come and testify here. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Committee members, any questions? Senator Debel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question to Senator Michelle. Is one, I don't see it in the bill. I'm just curious, is one of the ideas to collect some revenue for the purpose of doing any public education on impaired driving, sleep-deprived driving. Just curious, which I think would be a good idea. I think sleep-deprived driving needs more discussion.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, thank you for the question and just the topic. I think as drafted now, the revenue produced would just pay for the plates themselves. I'd certainly be open to a broader discussion of the education and the awareness, and if we could create the kind of revenue necessary to do that. I don't know if this kind of a limited program, I don't know how much you actually could create, mm-hmm. depending on the amount of the fee, but I'd certainly be open to that discussion.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman?
You know, from what we found in the past, the you know, specialized license plates, we don't have an overabundance of any of those outside of the DNR plate. And, you know, we asked for a little extra money here because it does take the department some extra work and to put the plates together. But, you know, I can only think of one off the top of my head, and we're going to be talking about that here in a little bit. I forget which one it is. Now, it'd be Senator Carlson's bill where we collected money and tried to do something with it, and that was the Proud to be a Veteran plate. And, you know, so if we set the fee very high or had a lot of folks wanting the plate, then we would be able to build a program around it. I think that the best thing that we can actually do to make sure that impaired driving is addressed in the future is make sure that our young drivers, as they're coming through driver education, understands that impairment is being tired. Impaired drivers are the kids fighting in the back seat, mm-hmm. and you know, try to approach it from an educational standpoint. And but we'd have to put the fee pretty high and to gain enough dollars to do that. Senator Olson?
No, Mr. Chair, I think this is a thoughtful approach in that you're looking to the license plate itself to attract attention to the issue, and I think it sounds like it's a clean enough and simple enough message that it could do that. And by keeping the cost low, you're likely to have more doing that. And I think that is a wise approach rather than attempting to build another fund and somehow figuring out and managing that. There are other ways that we can do that, and we need to. So I commend you. I think it's a good plan.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I would like to really emphasize that the more people we can get interested, you know, to use this plate, it certainly is not just for the families that have been affected, but anyone who's interested in this could certainly purchase one. The more we'd have, the more impact it would have on the highways.
Yeah, another large impairment is when people have their hand up like this.
Yeah.
You know, not only does it cut off line of sight, but, you know, the human mind wasn't built to do two things at once unless you're Mr. Shetland, and then it's, you know, 5, 6, 10 things at once. So, you know, you can't do this and do this at the same time. And it's just, God, it's common sense. But further discussion, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, you know, extend, you know, my sympathies. I've got a son who's, you know, in his early 20s now, and I can't imagine what it would be like, you know, if that's I got that call. And I you know, want to extend my sympathies and your courage for coming forward. And this is a very, very good idea because it does, I think, raise the awareness, and it brings into view when people are on the roads their attention back to the road and how something really simple, a simple mistake on the road can have life-changing certain, you know, events happen. And so I applaud you for doing that, and I certainly support this.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
If it's appropriate, I'd like to move the bill.
All right. Senator Olson has moved that Senate File 1329 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, and thank you again, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
looking right through them.
Yeah. You have anything to come?
And Senator Michelle, now we have Senate File 3069.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This will require a little bit of a gear shift.
Okay, and I believe we do have an amendment for this bill. Is that correct, Ms. Berzoski? If we could get the delete all amendment passed out, and Senator Michelle, if you can explain what the delete all amendment does while it's getting passed out, and then we'll adopt it, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, this requires a bit of a shift after that last bill. But what this legislation would do is, on a temporary basis, allow for transport of women golfers who are coming to Minnesota this June. The 2008 U.S. Women's Open is going to be held at Interlochen Country Club in Edina. And similar to what we've done, Mr. Chair and members, with other large golf tournaments, for instance, we had the U.S. Men's Open in 1991 out at Hazeltine, and we passed the same kind of legislation.
And I didn't make the cut. And
no, I think you just missed in the qualifying, Senator. This would allow for temporary plates. I have Ms. Schlander here from the Auto Dealers Association, and they have they've been the ones who flagged the need for us to do this. Mm-hmm. We need to do this for each event. Apparently, we don't have we haven't authorized MnDOT to be able to do this whenever we bring someone in. So this is specific just to the U.S. Women's Open. It's going to be, if I may say, it's going to be a great event. They're hoping to have the largest attendance ever, and it's going to be just down the road in Edina. So this literally helps to get the golfers to and from the venue. There are several auto dealers involved in the transport and the courtesy cars involved in this. So that's the basics, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. With that, Senator Koch would move the A1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chair, I probably don't have any more chance of making this than you, despite my gender, but I think this is a good idea. Obviously, we have to do it.
What's that supposed to mean? No.
I mean, well, maybe you'll make the U.S. Women's Open, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I don't have any shot.
Mr. Chair.
If, Senator Michelle.
Not in response to Senator Koch, but on line 114 of the delete all, we do need to add a date. The date of July 4th would coincide with the dates we need for this tournament. So okay. July 4th, 2008.
All right. And Senator Dibble makes that verbal amendment. All
in favor. Fine American.
All American, Senator Dibble, makes that motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Ms. Schlander, now, this bill is in the shape that you believe it needs to be in so you can move your vehicles around and get players here and there.
Mr. Chair, members, we have crafted this delete everything in consultation with Driver Vehicle Services, and Driver Vehicle also told me that law enforcement is fine with the language of the bill and the design of the plates.
All right, further discussion. Ms. Schlander, now, when these large events come into town, they're always looking for volunteers and things to help out with the food tent, and how are we coming with those recruiting efforts, do you know?
Mr. Chair, I'm not
retired,
on the U.S. Women's Open
saying.
Committee, but,
okay.
But I could look into that for you.
All right. Thank you. Senator Koch then moves that Senate File 3069.
We adopt.
Yes, we did.
We did adopt that. Sorry.
3069 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Michelle. Senator Rest, you're up next.
I've got a shoot. I suggest I mentioned it to her. It's fine with my name.
And Senator Rest, as you come to the table, we're going to have Ms. Bierzowski. We're going to have Ms. Bierzowski state the oral amendment that you two had discussed. Ms. Bierzowski.
Mr. Chair, on Senate File 2365, there's a few parts to this oral amendment. On line 1.7, after plates, insert or one motorcycle plate. On 1.8, after truck, comma, insert motorcycle. And on 1.18, after automobile, insert, comma, one-ton pickup truck, comma, motorcycle, comma, or recreational vehicle.
All right, Senator Skoy makes that motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Rest, you can't amend your own bill. I'm sorry. Senator Rest makes that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. First of all, I'm handing around a photograph started on the sides of something that it is being done by the Department of Transportation under sponsorship that will have a welcoming sign at each of the 67 highways that come into the state of Minnesota, welcoming people and announcing that 2008 is the sesquicentennial celebration, 150th anniversary of statehood. And they're putting these signs up during this month. And so I just wanted you to see this one, and I gave a special copy of this particular sign to Senator Saltzman because it is the sign where the highway enters from in Stillwater. But the bill I have for you today is a bill to allow the state to issue sesquicentennial license plate, and I have two possible mock-ups here for you to consider. And the funds that are raised for from this, and this is a fundraiser, would go to supporting the Sesquicentennial Commission in a time of budget demands that we know we're going to be seeing. Nevertheless, the Sesquicentennial Commission has had to operate really on a shoestring, and the governor is kind enough to include in his deficiency bill enough dollars for us, we hope, to support the operations through May. But if we could have the license plate available, and people have told us that the design is, and they love the logo, and the design is very beautiful, that they would be very supportive of it, and it would be a way to raise dollars for the sesquicentennial throughout the next year. And the celebration will continue through all of 2008. The commission itself will cease its authority at the end of the year, and any additional dollars that would be raised from these license plates would be given to or appropriated to the Capital Area Architectural Planning Board to support restoration of the Capitol. So not only would it help support the sesquicentennial celebration on a user basis, but it also, if there are additional funds, could be used for the capital. We're a little bit late in coming to this. We had thought that we would have gotten an appropriation. The governor last year asked for $2 million. We only got $750,000. We didn't think that we needed to do this, but now we do. We believe we do, and that we and that people would buy them and help us in this way to celebrate. With me today is Tane Danger, who is our I think he does just about everything for the commission. He was hired as one of the interns. He quickly became the director of communications, public outreach, all kinds of things that he does for the commission. If you have any questions about other activities that are going on, he certainly can give you an update if you have any questions.
Mr. Chair,
thank you, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One question. Is that your real name?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yes.
How many times? You can even say it.
Yes.
Identify yourself.
Hi, my name's Tane Danger. Yes, that is my real name. And I'm the communications director at the Sesquicentennial. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The Marine Corps is looking for you.
I'm waiting for the CIA.
Oh, okay.
Special Agent Danger.
Well, Mr. Danger, maybe you can help us with a few of the activities that will be happening here as we move forward.
Sure, Mr. Chair. The time that's really obviously going to be full of all kinds of activities is Statehood Week and basically the entire month of May. Starting right at the beginning of May, there's going to be a wagon train that is going to recreate the trail that a lot of our ancestors and people who came to Minnesota in that time period took. And they're going to start out in Cannon Falls, and they're going to come down. And the plan is for them to arrive here, assuming no axles break or oxen keel over. They will arrive here on May 11th, which is Statehood Day. As we know, and that will be the beginning of a day of kind of commemoration and things. I know you all are still in session, but we'll be outside having a good time. Hopefully you can come out too. And then we go for 5 days, Monday through Friday, to each of our state capitals for a day. The five, just to recap, are Winona, Detroit Lakes, Thief River Falls, New Ulm, and Bemidji. And so we'll spend 1 day at each of those, and they've each got their own planning committee for their day. And then we come back here on the 17th and 18th for the Statehood Weekend. And that's going to be really the large festival where we're trying to display and showcase the things that are Minnesotan at our 150th. And there's a variety of other activities that I could tell you about, but that's the really heavy week. And then the state fair is actually going to be themed this year around the sesquicentennial, and we have put together now the funds that we needed to definitely do a big top tent show at the state fair. Warren Nelson, who did the song for the Wisconsin Sesquicentennial, has done a song show about the history of Minnesota called the Song of the North Star, Old Minnesota Show, which will perform 4 times a day, every day of the state fair, in this big top tent at the state fair, which in itself is apparently going to be something to see. So lots going on, and I could talk your ear off, but I'm sure you all have other things to do at some point.
You're a good communications
Mr.
director,
Chairman.
Obviously. Yes, Senator.
He neglected to mention one activity that I'm really involved with and very supportive of, and that is on May 10th, the only series that the Twins are going to have with the world champion Red Sox is going to be a 4-day series, 9th through the 12th. And on the evening of May 10th, that Saturday, the Minnesota Twins are going to feature our sesquicentennial celebration. They have invited, at my urging, the chamber choirs of the two high schools in my district to come and sing the new sesquicentennial song. It's called Shines for All to See. And there's going to be an old-timers baseball game. The color guard from Fort Snelling is going to present the colors. In something very unusual, Major League Baseball has allowed them to have a special sesquicentennial patch on their uniforms. Usually Major League Baseball doesn't allow that, but they are for this weekend. And it's going to be an FSN game, and so it will be seen nationwide. We're going to be able to select people to participate in the home run contest, to toss out the first pitch, and also to participate in the seventh inning stretch. So it's going to be quite a Minnesota history event at the Dome between the Sox and the Twins, and you're certainly all invited to come and join in.
So Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, have you negotiated so that you can throw out the first pitch?
I get to be a decider.
What?
Hey.
I get to be a decider, so I'm kind of I'm taking applications. As I said, Senator Murphy,
the bill is in jeopardy. No, I'm just kidding. Senator Dahl, and then Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dane, I don't presume a lot of people go to my personal website outside the Capitol here, but if I wanted to put a portal to your website, is that possible, and who would I talk to do that?
Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Bill, that would be absolutely great. We'd love it if all of the legislators had a portal with the logo on their website, and yes, that's very easy to do. All you need to do is contact our office, and we can make that happen. We're actually over in the James J. Hill House in the service quarters. And the number is, if anyone wants to write this down, 651-296-1870. And then our website, which is clearly on here, is mn150.org.
Thank you.
Great. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wow, Senator Rest, you make $750,000 go a long way. You're stretching it out. All right. Are there other contributions?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble, not only do we make it go a long way, and Senator Olson's also on the commission, but half of those dollars have gone out to communities across the state in micro grants to help celebrate events, $1,000 apiece, and in what we call legacy grants of up to $5,000, which we hope will be events, not so much event-oriented, but programs that will indeed be lasting. So that's what we call them, legacy.
So two quick questions. One, I assume there someone else must be helping out. Are there private donations?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble, we have asked for private donations. There is a fundraiser tomorrow night that you're certainly invited to come to.
I'm gonna be there, yes.
And we have visited with private corporations and foundations. We've not enjoyed overwhelming success, but we certainly have had some contributions. What we're finding more is happening is that people are joining in the celebration. So, for example, the Minnesota Twins are doing they're helping in the celebration, and they'll, you know, have Minnesota facts on the Jumbotron and the logo and raise a flag and so on, rather than making an outright financial contribution. And as you know, for the most part, people, when they're invited to participate, people like doing it that way. It's very difficult to get the money for the nuts and bolts, contributions for the nuts and bolts operations, and that's true for any nonprofit organization.
So just finally, Mr. Chair, how much do you hope to raise from this? And I'll buy a plate, by the way. Good. And number one, number two, is this going to help you do what you already plan to do better, or are you hoping to add more things.
Mr. Chairman, depending on how quickly this can get done, it will allow us to keep our staff on board throughout the rest of the year. Otherwise, we won't be able to do that.
And right. How much do you think you're going to?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble, when Wisconsin did this a couple of years ago and they had a longer lead on it, they raised a couple of $1 million. We're not going to have that much time. We hope we think it's an attractive design. We hope it will be popular, and we'll just take whatever is there.
Okay.
But the money won't go to waste, because whatever's left over will go to the activities of restoring the Capitol.
Great.
Well, thank you. Maybe Ms. McCormick, you would want to make a comment on behalf of the Department of Vehicle Services.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services. And our only comment would be is that I'm checking right now to see what time it would take for us to do the programming, a contribution plate. We have to do accounting codes so that the money can be deposited in the right account. So I've sent an email to staff, and we'll work with Senator Ress so that we can let her know what the time frame would be that we would need to implement it.
All right, and Ms. McCormick, is the $25 going to be enough now to cover the new plate?
We'll bring our plate expert up here.
The $10 fee is the plate.
I'll get up. No, that's all right.
The $10.
Mr. Chair?
Second.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe the $25 is a contribution, and
can
the
you,
plate is $10.
I'm sorry, can you state your name for the record, please?
David Davies.
Thank you. Please, go ahead.
The $25 is the contribution fee that would not be retained by Driver and Vehicle Services.
I'm sorry, I got that backwards. The $10, is that enough to build the plate?
It depends on the amount of sales. If this is a plate that's going to be distributed to our 173 deputies, there'd be an initial run of plates would need about 10,000 plates to supply the deputies. They cost about $6 a plate, so that would be initial setup cost of about 60,000 plus some design charges.
Okay, well, it sounds like Senator Dibble's going to plate his fleet of vehicles, so we're there. And Senator Rath, so Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoia isn't here, but he and I go on record as supporting the one with the Minnesota dark, so you can actually see the name rather than reverse.
I like that one better, too. Anybody else want to vote?
Dark. Dark.
That one.
Dark.
This one.
And Mr. Chair, could you buy plates without, if you don't have a vehicle to put them on, can you buy a set of souvenir plates then too? How does that work?
Well, that's a good question.
Would object because of this. That'd be the same problem.
I know I have a little plate too, which I love.
We just compromise and we've got it done.
We were just talking about we have to make sure we meet the statutes related to readability for law enforcement.
Okay.
But Senator Rest already come up with a compromise.
They don't like, and this is true for any of the ones that come up, they don't like anything to interfere with the number. So,
okay.
But with this, we could just make the logo itself smaller. So it
That's
doesn't
fine.
Go over to the number.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Not a problem.
Senator Olson had a question.
Senator Olson, did you have another question?
Well, Mr. Chair, my question was whether it would be possible to buy plates as souvenirs versus, if you don't have a vehicle to put them on. How does that work?
I don't.
If you pay the fee, does it have to go with a vehicle registration number?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, the way the legislation is written, there would be no authority to issue a novelty plate, but Driver and Vehicle Services would not object to novelty plates that way.
I can't quite hear you. You don't have authority?
This
we have to give them authority to issue a novelty plate.
I think we should. I think you could sell more. Because, you know, some of us are kind of committed to our loon plates. And
Mr. Chairman, you just want to put it up on your wall or put it in a drawer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whether you could put it on, I don't know if you could exchange it and use it for the year and then go back to another one, or how does that work?
Mr. Chairman,
I'm not meaning to complicate the issue, but
no.
Maybe I should take that second part just away.
And Senator Olson, actually I've had some constituents ask me that, if there would be a way of getting a plate that just had all zeros, and clearly not something they'd put on their car.
Ms. Berzovsky tells me that by the time this bill gets to the Finance Committee, she can have something worked out so that we can slide it right into the bill in Finance.
I'm on Finance, and I'll watch for that.
Yes, yes. And that's a good thing. Senator Saltzman.
That was my point, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay, great, great. Well, then, done pretty good work here with this bill. So, Senator Rest, you want to make a motion?
I move that Senate File 2365 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance.
On that motion, further discussion? Is there anybody that is in opposition to the bill? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is Senator Tomasoni still here, or? Oh, he's coming back in. We're going to, if that's okay, Senator Carlson, we'll go with Senator Tomasoni. Senator Tomasoni, you're up.
That was my boss calling.
Oh.
Plumbing problem at home.
Well, that's a priority.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Senate File 2077, Mr. Chairman, comes to me as a request from one of my constituents to allow the Bronze Star to be one of the license plates that we have in the state of Minnesota. And the Bronze Star, for those of you who are wondering.
Senator Tomasoni, would you just move the mic a little closer? You're so soft-spoken that I have a hard time hearing you.
And Senator Tomasoni, I was just going to say it's a little unusual for you to have a bill.
Well, if you would just like me to do it. Because just so you know, I have an amendment here also, Mr. Chairman. just in case the bill doesn't work very good.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the Bronze Star is awarded to any person who, while serving in any capacity in or with the military of the United States after December 6, 1941, distinguished himself or herself by heroic or meritorious achievement or service not involving participation in aerial flight while engaged in an action against any enemy of the United States, while engaged in military operations involving conflict with an opposing foreign force, or while serving with friendly foreign forces engaged in an armed conflict against an opposing armed force in which the United States is not a belligerent party, and awards may be made for acts of heroism performed under circumstances described above, which are of a lesser degree than those required by the Silver Star. And the history of it is the background. General George C. Marshall requested from President Roosevelt on February 3, 1944, in writing by saying, "The fact that the ground troops, infantry in particular, led miserable lives of extreme discomfort and are the ones who must in close personal combat with the enemy make the maintenance of their morale of great importance. The award of the Air Medal have had an adverse reaction on the ground troops, particularly the infantry riflemen who are now suffering the heaviest losses at air or ground in the Army and enduring the greatest hardships. So the Air Medal had been adopted earlier to raise airmen's morale. So President Roosevelt authorized the Bronze Star by executive order on February 4th of 1944, retroactive to December 7th, 1941. And then as a result of a study conducted in 1947, the policy was implemented and authorized a retroactive award of the Bronze Star to soldiers who had received the Combat Infantry Badge or the Combat Medical Badge during World War II. The executive order that President Roosevelt authorized was amended by President Kennedy on August 24th of 1962 to expand the authorization to include those serving with friendly forces. Mm-hmm. The basis for doing the badges that were awarded to soldiers who were born the hardships which resulted in General Marshall's support of the Bronze Star Medal. So both medals are required a recommendation by the commander and a citation and orders. Mm-hmm. And I thought that given all the different license plates that we had for our veterans, Mr. Chairman, that this seemed to be a reasonable request for another one.
And thank you, Senator Tomasoni. And I don't believe that Mr. Puglisi from the Department of Veterans Affairs has any issue with this bill at all. And the Department of Vehicle Services has none. With that, Senator Fischbach moves that Senate File 2071 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dahl, I understand that you have a commitment in about 15 minutes. Do you want to? Okay. Sorry, Senator Carlson, but we're going to move. We're going to hop around here a little bit. Senator Dahl, you have Senate File 3080.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm going to have Pat McCormick sit with me and explain some of this bill. I think it's fairly straightforward. You know, we get with all these special plates we're talking about now, I think this is a good bill to add to the mix. We often want to look at ways that we can save some money as well in our departments and the efficiencies within government. This is a perfect opportunity for us to do this. What this bill does, Senate File 3080, is when you apply for a special plate on the first time you purchase a vehicle, you're going to get issued a 21-day permit with that vehicle. But oftentimes, and then a regular plate before that special plate comes back. What we want to do is to, instead of having a regular plate issued and then thrown away, we want to be able to put a special permit out to begin with. That gives us enough time to get that special plate so we can eliminate the costs and the waste involved. Also, the potential for using that plate improperly if it's not disposed of properly. It could be used fraudulently because a lot of times you've got a year left on that plate. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of the crux of the bill. Mm-hmm. And I'll open up for questions either myself or Ms. McCormick.
Mm-hmm. Ms. McCormick, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, we did have an amendment we needed to add in here.
Too.
I should probably send that out right away. I don't know if I have it up here. There was just some language within it that didn't quite meet. Do we have a number up there? I'm not sure. Did we get the amendment?
Senator Dahl, we do not have an amendment here.
It's being passed out now?
And Ms. Spierzowski is not aware of an amendment.
Well, then I would like to do an oral amendment, if we might.
Okay. And this is something that you've talked.
What we want to do is just make sure that the right people are issuing these plates.
Okay.
That, as for the deputy registrar, mm-hmm. and might give me one moment.
This isn't related to this.
No, that's with
veterans. I think this was for.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services. In our discussions with our deputy registrars and our dealers associations, we talked about the fact that we wanted to make it perfectly clear that only the deputy registrar could issue the 60-day permit, because otherwise it could get confused with the 21-day permits that dealers give out. And so we wanted to make that clear. And I think we were looking at referencing the deputy registrar authority at the very end of the second page, line 2.2. And I think it was 168.33. 3.33 is what I think we were looking at. We had talked with the reviser's office about an amendment that was supposed to be prepared for Senator Dahl, and it mm-hmm. must not have gotten done yet. So I apologize for that.
Oh, not a problem.
So
Ms. Bierzowski works pretty good on the fly.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, is the there was a handout here about taking away the $5 surcharge. Is that what?
That's got nothing to do with this.
That's a different bill, actually. I don't know if that should be in here. That's probably for another day.
Yeah.
So that was just a handout mistakenly circulated, or?
Right.
Okay.
Is that what they want? I'm not sure.
Mr. Chair, I guess what we want to do is be able to just designate that only deputy registrars can issue these permits.
Mr. Chair, that excludes what, the dealers then?
Okay.
But it can be issued by the commissioner as well, I assume. Right.
But it also can be issued by the commissioner as well. Right.
Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct. It should be by DVS or the deputy.
Right.
So Mr. Chair, to that point, too?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Ms. McCormick, does that include some of the Hennepin County regional offices? Are they considered deputies? Or are they part of DVS?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, yes, those would be under the deputy. They are deputy registrar.
Thanks.
Okay, Ms. Bierzowski.
Mr. Chair, on line 2.2, after the period, insert, the permit may be issued only by the commissioner or by a deputy registrar under section 168.33.
Senator Dahl moves, makes that motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Dahl, I believe your bill is in the shape it needs to pass if you want to make the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 3080 be recommended to pass as amended. And I'm not sure where it would go to
it
next.
It would go to the Committee on Finance.
And refer mm-hmm. to the Committee on Finance.
On the Dahl motion, is there anybody that wants to speak in opposition to the bill? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail.
Thank you,
Senator Dahl. Senator Carlson, so that we don't get crossways here with the committee of the next, the chair of the committee.
Senator Dahl, take your choice if you want.
We're going to bring Senator Cohen up next so that our committee stays in good graces with his committee. Sorry to make you wait, Senator Cohen. We've got a couple members that had to, they've got some other responsibilities.
That's fine, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks for waiting. Senator Cohen,
Chairman,
Senate File 3191.
Mr. Chairman, members, Senate File 3191 legislation establishing a special license plate for the American Red Cross. I believe, mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, the committee is hearing a variety of these license plate bills today. And to be honest, this is the first one I've been asked to author, and I've not been involved with the Red Cross, but obviously have admiration for the work they've done in regard to disaster relief and preparedness. So I was willing to do so. And, Mr. Chairman, to be honest, I'm not sure how this comports with other bills, but as members can tell, it allows the issuance of the license plates based upon a payment of the fee to the department, as well as a minimum contribution to the Red Cross. Mr. Burns is here as the executive director, and he can offer some better testimony than I can relative to the needs, how the money is going to be used, and other questions the committee might have.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Burns, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Chris Burns. I am the Minnesota State Relations Representative for the American Red Cross in Minnesota and Communications Manager at the Twin Cities Area Red Cross. I want to thank you for the opportunity today to talk about this. I'm also here on behalf of the 21 Red Cross chapters located throughout Minnesota. Last year, the Red Cross responded to 787 disasters in Minnesota. If today is an average day, somewhere in Minnesota, the Red Cross will be responding from 2 to 3 disasters as we speak throughout the day. The Red Cross every year responds and assists, provides shelter, food, clothing, medical assistance, and mental health counseling to more than 1,000 Minnesota families. Last year, the dollars generated from the sale of a special Red Cross license plate would help local chapters respond to these disasters and to educate their communities on how to prevent and prepare for emergencies. Red Cross chapters across the state have a critical need to develop resources to support disasters they respond to each year in the state. And while large disasters such as the I-35W bridge collapse, flooding in southeastern Minnesota, generate attention and generous support, our local Red Cross chapters are struggling to fund the hundreds of other disasters that they respond to each year. We also need these resources to help us plan, recruit, train, and equip our volunteers in advance of disasters and to educate our communities on how to prevent and plan for emergencies. We understand that you have many requests for special license plates, and the Red Cross plays a unique role in the emergency response system. We are in the response plans of local, county, state, and federal government, and yet we receive no government funding for disaster relief. Government at all levels plan and expect us to be a vital part of the response, and we are, and yet there are no dollars allocated to help us carry out these tasks. This special license plate bill is a painless way for the state of Minnesota to assist the Red Cross in helping communities across the state prepare for and respond to emergencies. We're asking for your support of the bill so the Red Cross can help our communities get ready and provide comfort and support and relief when disasters strike. Thank you for the opportunity to express our support, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Burns. And I saw you sitting in here earlier when I made an earlier statement that, you know, outside of our natural habitat plate, most of our other plates don't make a lot of revenue. So I would, not that I'm trying to lower your expectations, but don't expect hundreds of millions of dollars to be generated because it's not going to happen. You know, any donations are better than zero, right?
For our chapters across the state, these could be significant dollars. For smaller chapters, for other chapters, and in other states, we have had success with these plates generating substantial revenue for the Red Cross and those communities.
Good. Senator Carlson.
Mr. Chair, in the last couple of days, I've been working with a lot of what are normally considered second-class citizens here. That's the motorcycle riders.
Oh, and I thought you were going to say legislators.
No. I always work with those. But with motorcycle riders, they want to be included in a lot of these specialized plates. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'd like to offer an amendment to the bill, a verbal amendment after line on line 1.7 after plates to insert or a single motorcycle plate. That's after plates. And it goes on to an applicant. And on line 1.8 after truck, insert the word motorcycle.
That was on which? Oh, okay, I see it.
1.7 and 1.8.
Okay. All right. Senator Cohen, or I'm sorry, Senator Olsen.
Yes. Mr. Chair, with all this discussion on the one-ton pickups, I was just thinking about that. You know, do we need to say one-ton pickups? I mean, there's quarter ton, three, or there's half ton, three-quarter ton, one ton. Are we now taking a half-ton pickup out of the mix in all these bills when we said one-ton pickup?
Senator Olstein, Ms. Berzosky has a very clear answer for you, and she's going to find it here in just a second. But
Senator Murphy, I think I can even offer some.
Oh, Senator Jungbauer.
As I see some smiles in back, probably Ms. McCormick can offer something, mm-hmm. but because of the gross vehicle weight, a one-ton pickup could be authorized to use a Y-plate, so I think that's why we might mm-hmm. specifically state here that you could put this otherwise consumer type of plate on there, and hopefully somehow we'll get some clarification on the use of Y-plates and things, and then we might not have mm-hmm. to continue to state specifically one-ton when mm-hmm. really the terminology for one-ton explicitly refers to a gross vehicle weight rating. And I'd like to clarify some of that in the policy stuff we work on this mm-hmm. year, but that's, I believe, is a mm-hmm. pretty accurate answer as to why we specifically mention that.
Well, and Ms. McCormick is agreeing with that, so there you go, Senator Olstein. And Ms. Berzosky has a chapter of law here.
Well, Mr. Chair, actually, the pickup trucks and vans, including, well, with a manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity of 1 ton, are included in the definition of passenger automobile. So as things are structured currently, it wouldn't have to be there, but because it is a category that people are looking at, it's probably wise for clarification to
thank you.
State
okay.
it separately.
All right. On the Carlson motion to amend, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Members, we're going to have to get out of here in about 3 minutes, so we're going to go quick here. Senator Cohen, is there any other testimony? I just gave you a demotion. Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Pat McCormick, Driving Vehicle Services, and I apologize, Senator Cohen, that I haven't had time to talk to you about this bill. The only concerns we would have would be that, as we said with the sesquicentennial bill, that we would need time for implementation. And the second one would be is usually when we're doing a plate, we look to the organization to provide us with a design versus us coming up with a design for mm-hmm. the plate. And so those would be two considerations that we would like to discuss and see if we can resolve. And mm-hmm. we can certainly talk with Senator Cohen at a later date.
Senator Cohen, this bill goes to your committee next, and what we need to know is that you're going to work with Ms. McCormick and make this work.
Certainly, that sounds reasonable, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, great.
They want to take out the effective date in effect on August 1st. If that's an issue for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I see. Okay. All right. Well, and this is how good Ms. Berzosky is. She's already got it pretty well figured out, but we'll let you take care of it in your committee that
sure,
way,
because
I'm sure there'd be a couple other things. So with that, Senator Dibble moves that Senate File 3191, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Carlson.
Members, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As long as Ms. McCormick's back there, I would hope, as every year we go through so many of these special plate requests, perhaps Ms. McCormick could come up with some ideas on how we could streamline this and put it into statute, what might be allowed, and let the department review some of these. It seems like we spend so much time with these special plates every year that I sure would like to see some clarifications on how we would go about allowing them or not allowing them or streamlining it so the department could make a lot of these decisions. It just seems like we're constantly rewriting things for...
I know. We're always trying to help Ms. McCormick.
But wouldn't we like to squarely put the onus on her department to tell us what we should be doing and put it into statute once and for all?
Senator Carlson.
Mr. Chair.
Senate File 2337, and we got to be quick. We've got exactly 45 seconds. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be real fast. And
okay.
Senator Jungbauer, we are attempting to do some of that this time. I have the special veteran contribution plate for motorcycles. This was a initiation from a constituent, Mr. David Hammer, who is next to me. And what we need to do is we will add a few amendments. But first, I'll just tell you that what this is it's to bring up to date the statute to make sure that we can have a veterans plate that corresponds with the license plates on automobiles. And what we did do as an amendment that I'll offer in a moment here is to bring it up to date so that we can go back and capture those past motorcycle plates also.
Senator Carlson offers up the A2 amendment. This is a delete all amendment. All in favor say aye. 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 Opposed. Aye. Motion does prevail. Senator Carlson.
Okay. We did have to have the A1 amendment. We don't?
No, just the A2 amendment.
Everything's
in the A2 amendment, Senator Carlson.
Okay. So we have now I have Mr. David Hammer here who can speak to the amendment that, I'm sorry, the amended version of the bill, and he can tell you why he thinks that this is important.
Mr. Hammer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is David Hammer, resident of Eagan, active duty Army and retired Air Force Reserves. Thank you for allowing me to address the issue of making proud to be a veteran license plate available for motorcycles. Presently, of the 17 military and veteran license plates, only 6 are available for motorcycles. Additionally, the support to our troops plate is available for motorcycles, but I'm interested in the proud to be a veteran plate. Proud to be a veteran plate fills a niche from other military and veteran plates. To be eligible for other plates, a person has to have served in a specific combat era or in a specific medal. The only plate available to all veterans, especially those that don't qualify those specific plates, is the Proud to Be a Veteran plate. Not all veterans served during wartime or earned a specific medal. One person suggests to me I should get the motorcycle version of the Support Our Troops plate, and while I do support troops throughout many ways in my life, I'm a troop myself, and I'm proud I'm a veteran. I know the final design is approved by the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, but I wish that the motorcycle version of the Proud to Be a Veteran plate has the United States flag on it also. Finally, I see that there are other military and veteran plates being proposed this year. It is my hope to also have those as a motorcycle version of the plate to support those who ride motorcycles.
Thank you. And Mr. Plugisi, there's you guys have a section of this bill and something that we've talked about in the past. Please.
Mr. Chair, members, Mike Puglisi, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Yes, with the Proud to Be a Veteran plate, initially, as you're aware, it was created to help fund the construction of the World War II Memorial. Mm-hmm. That has been completed, so what we'd like to do at this time is any remaining money that's in there and all future money that's received be used for other veteran-related purposes. Mm-hmm. The other amendment that's in the bill before you has to do with the Support Our Troops plate account. That is also used for other veteran-type programs and services. Mm-hmm. Initially, when the language was laid out, the intent was that it be split 50-50 with the National Guard, Military Affairs, and Veterans mm-hmm. Affairs. And we have been doing that, but the language does not reflect that. We'd like to correct it so that the language reflects that accurately.
All right. Great. Well, thank you. And with that, Senator Carlson would move that Senate File 2337 as amended be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance. Is there anyone that wants to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Ms. McCormick, the DVS has worked with Mr. Carlson and Mr. Puglisi, and everything's in order. Great. All right. With that, on the motion, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. Motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator Carlson. Thank you for coming today and testifying, and the committee is now adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Talk to Oberstar's office.
They're still working on it.